you know, when I'm thinking about leading worship and when I'm kind of preparing to do so, what helps me is often to kind of hit my little pillars in my mind, you know, just kind of just to remind myself and to empower myself as well for what I'm about to do. And so I have these four things that I always think about, and I think it really helps me with kind of with what I'm doing, and basically I guess it puts me in a frame of mind that means that I'm less distracted. And so the first thing is it's a motive thing, and it's the why am I doing this. Now when I first started playing guitar at Hillsong Church, it was like the biggest deal ever for me, and I remember walking on the stage as the service was about to start, and I remember God saying to me clear as day, would you do this? Would you still be doing this if no one knew it was you? You know, and in my mind, I saw this big white sheet, you know, kind of go across the stage, and I just remember kind of picturing that people could only see silhouettes because of, you know, this sheet, and I just remember God saying, "Would you still do it if this was what it was? If no one actually knew it was you, would you get up early? Would you load your gear? Would you invest in your gear? Would you invest in your craft? If no one even knew that it was, you know, if no one knew that it was you?" And I just remember that being such a kind of an impacting moment for me. And so now every time I walk on the stage, and I wouldn't say every time, but a lot of times when you walk onto a platform, I'm just reminded of the fact that kind of the reason why I'm up there is not because I'm trying to become some rock star or some kind of significant person. It's because, you know, like we need to serve these people, and that's kind of, and it's a privilege to do so. Yeah. The second one is just a simple one. It's know your people. Who's out there? Who exactly are you leading? And so often you can walk into a service and the young people down the front, they're going, you know, they're getting ready to go crazy. They're getting ready to jump and dance and push each other around. And yeah. and that's great and it's exciting, but you've got to kind of pay attention to who else is in the room. And so often when the young people down the front are going so crazy, sometimes older people or people that aren't kind of in that kind of bracket, they can so easily just stand back and go, "Oh, this is for the young people." And so it's your job as the worship leader to kind of make sure that that everybody knows this is for everybody. And so it's so important, it's so powerful knowing exactly who you're leading, because then you can actually pay attention to that and even try and figure out what people need in order to kind of get to where you're trying to go. I think that's really important. Entering into a service, establishing exactly who's there, who you're leading. It's also kind of relevant when we have an 8 a.m. service, which is in a chapel, a lot of sandstone, glass, and a lot of older people come to that service. And so, in my opinion, your approach can't be the same as a Sunday night in our main kind of auditorium. You have to actually adjust and figure out exactly who's in there and what's going to be the best for them. Because remembering that our job is to serve these people, is to actually get them to a place where they are, where they do encounter the presence of God. And so it's kind of your responsibility to know and to kind of, you know, you kind of get to know your services though as well. So I know that 8 a.m., it's kind of going to be this, you know, a particular kind of group of people, and it's going to be, you know, Sunday night is going to be exciting and lots of young people, but at the same time, I know the young people are going to get excited, and I know they're going to, you know, go crazy, and I know that I'm going to have to do something to include everybody else. I'm going to have to do, you know, kind of come up with a way to include and embrace and make sure that everybody else doesn't feel like it's not for them. So during the week, I'll be thinking about that. Usually when I'm putting together a song list, I've got that in mind. I'm like, okay, this song, you know, people get excited about, but this song actually has some Bible truth, and I'll focus on these particular lines in the song, and I'll try and make sure that the whole church sings those lines so that we kind of for want of a better, we gather together around a certain truth, you know. And for me, that's how I try and pull people in. That's how I try and get, you know, kind of people involved. And and so for me, I'm always thinking about how to kind of use the time that I have to kind of engage with as many people as possible. The third kind of pillar for me is the purpose of what I'm doing. And you know, as a worship leader, you there's, you know, it has the term leader in it, and I so often it's good to remind yourself that people, we don't have worship leaders because we need Christian rock stars. It's just not the case. We have worship leaders because sometimes people need help to get to a place where they're surrendered to God, to a place where they actually are free to encounter the presence of God. And so that's the purpose of a worship leader. So I'm constantly reminding myself of that. I'm not here leading worship because they need to hear a new song that we've got, or I'm not here to lead worship because I need to kind of change their lives with my magnificent guitar chops or whatever. It's purely about serving these people, and there's something really powerful about the posturing that takes place there, because in order to serve them, you've got to humble yourself before them. And so often for me, if I was to develop this, so often for me, I find when we are invitational in our leadership, when we, instead of saying, come on, sing, we say, would you sing? Would you lift your hands? Would you sing together? Or whatever it is, you become more invitational. It actually humbles you before them. And people tend to really respond to that a lot. They respond to that a lot better than if you were barking orders. And I think so often we think of coming into a church service, and sometimes it could be a little bit of a hostile environment, you know, like, oh man, I'm so nervous, you know, people, I'm in front of people, and your nerves and your kind of self-consciousness is kind of going in overdrive. But in actual fact, the simple truth is that people came to be in church by their free will. They actually made an effort to get out of bed. They made an effort to get dressed, get the kids ready, get into the kids program, find a park, find a seat. They actually made an effort. So if you think about that, no one actually came to church hoping that the worship leader can't sing very well. No one comes to church hoping the preacher didn't prepare. No one comes to church hoping that the new song is bad or that the sound is terrible. Everybody coming into church who actually wants to be there is hoping for a positive experience. So that really kind of, it lifts a lot of weight off the worship leader's shoulders, because then you understand actually people are just here to meet with God and be encouraged and actually have a positive experience that actually can help them. And so for me, I'm like, well, my purpose today is to make sure that people encounter the presence of God. And I would say that if I'm the worship leader and that's my job, then my little motivator is no one misses out. No one misses out on the presence of God ever. And I think that's a really kind of healthy way to look at it. The fourth pillar for me is where do we end up? And when I'm planning a service, when I'm planning a song list, working with an MD or a co-leader or someone like that, the first thing I kind of establish is where I want to end up. And so what would be my last song? Where do we want to actually get the service to? What do we want people to be focusing on when we hand the service over to the senior pastor or the MC or whoever's coming up? And I like to think about what, you know, where we want to, whereabouts we want to kind of land as far as where people's response is, what people are thinking about, what people are singing. And in our church, we have 20 minutes typically of worship at the beginning of a service. And at the end of that 20 minutes, Pastor Brian generally likes to kind of end up at a kind of a high praise type moment, faith building, encouraging people, you know, really kind of exalting God. And so that's what I'm trying to kind of figure out. In order to get there, I know that there's a journey. And so obviously your first song can be a fast song or it can be whatever you want. But for me, all I'm looking for with my first song is involvement. And my thought is that if I can get a foot tapping, maybe we can get a hand clapping. If we can get a hand clapping, maybe someone might sing a line of a song. And if you sing a line of a song, then I got you. You got nowhere to hide. So, but the truth is, I'm looking for involvement because a little bit of involvement, a little bit of kind of sacrifice, a little bit of kind of getting outside of your kind of everyday boundaries, can be rewarded. You know, and I think that so often people don't quite know how to get from the state that they're in, and sometimes people come to church burdened. They come in, you know, burdened by pressure, financial pressure, strain in the family, whatever. And so often people don't exactly know how to get from a place where they feel all tied up and bound to a place where they actually can surrender to God. So for me, I'm looking for some kind of involvement. And I think even just clapping your hands and singing a few lines, and sometimes when you're feeling so trapped or bound in a situation, that can really be an act of faith. Okay, so just to recap, my four pillars, just things to keep in mind when you're leading worship. It's why am I doing this? Just clearing up in your head the motive behind why we lead worship. Number two is know your people. Identify who's in the room. Identify what it is that you're going to need to do to involve them. Number three is what's the purpose of leading these people? And obviously we all need to kind of know intimately why we lead worship, and ultimately is to kind of help people to encounter the presence of God. And number four is, where do we need to end up? And basically that is, you know, you've got to have a plan. You've got to have a point where you want to kind of arrive. And the old saying is, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. So if you have a plan, and you guys and you're well versed in it, then at least if God wants to adjust the plan, then you're confident in it, and you can move, and kind of there can be movement there. But those are my four pillars of, you know, things that are healthy to think about when you're leading worship.